I want to take this opportunity to express to those that are here, of course, and as well as our webcast, our audience, and you have seen me sitting for the last few months, and of course, I'm following doctor's orders. You continue to pray for me, and I believe that God has already delivered and given us the victory. Amen. As it relates to what His will is concerning my health. Amen. Amen. And we just ask for your continued prayer and confidence in God's will. Amen. And sometimes within the future, I won't say near or far, amen, I will be able to stand and minister to you again. Amen. Meanwhile, the word of God is not bound. It has free course. And we praise God for the ministry of this word. It's not about who preaches. It's about what is preached. And certainly the gospel of the grace of God has been preached in this pulpit continuous. This morning is no different. As Deacon Howard Gavin shall come before us at this time with the message of grace, the mystery message. It is that which was given to the Apostle Paul for the grace church in the grace dispensation. At this time, let us receive Deacon Howard Gavin, the gospel of the grace of God, with a very hearty amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for being able to come and stand before you again to give testimony of His precious truth that He has caused to be left on record by the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ, in delivering the mystery message unto us, the church, Christ's body, via the Apostle Paul. All right, and first of all, we're going to ask you to bow your heads with me in a word of prayer, for without God, nothing can be accomplished. Righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we bless you. We thank and praise you, O God, for your goodness, your grace, and, Lord, for the gathering of us this day. We pray, O Lord, that thou, O God, will show thyself in faithfulness and illuminating and enlightening the minds of those whom you have caused to be here, and, Lord, the recipients you have determined as such to receive enlightenment and illumination. And, Lord, through our worldwide web, my God, we pray this, that this truth would go forth and forward in power, Lord, in light and comprehension, and my God, in joy unto your people, wheresoever you have determined it, you God of all things. Now, Lord, we pray blessing much on your precious word today and on your servant. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First off, I'm going to ask the ushers to pass out the documents. We're speaking from God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Raise your hand if you do not have the document, page 4. I don't think that we will get any further than that. I had great intentions, but God did not say the same. His will is done, not ours. Irregardless of what we intend, the Lord has already determined what is. The sovereignty of God, or God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's supreme right and authority. He has created all things, all, and has done everything. All belongs to Him. It is His inherent right to do what He pleases with that which is His. The Lord said in one place in the scriptures, all souls are mine. All. Amen. God's sovereignty in election. God's absolute right in choosing. His choice unto salvation. Salvation. Deliverance from sin and its consequences, and Our salvation speaks of our eternal relationship, our sonship positioning in the body of Christ unto God. Our sonship positioning in Christ Jesus. It means preservation or deliverance from harm, ultimate harm, from loss, ultimate loss, or ruin, ultimate ruin. Amen. If God has not determined that we hang on to anything, it is gone. If God has determined, predetermined, that we will not receive anything, it will not come. If God has decreed that we not go anywhere or go any further, that is what it is. Praise be God. Praise be God. So, in essence, salvation means, our eternal salvation means, we are safe. Now, our pastor, praise be God for him and his service down through these years. He will be, in the absence of the rest of our ministerial staff, he will be our designated reader. And, first of all, Pastor, I want you to turn to the context, Ephesians, where this document is taken primarily from, Ephesians chapter 1, and audience and those that are looking in, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And we're going to read from the King James Version, and if need be, we will turn to the interlineal Greek text. We go to the interlineal Greek text because it has been taken from the earliest manuscripts. We don't have the original autographs, that is, that which Paul wrote, but it is taken from or translated from the earliest manuscripts, and therefore it is quite accurate. But we don't depend solely on even it or any of the translations. We, by the grace of God, by the enablement and enlightenment of God, we go to scriptural, or we depend more on scriptural exegesis. And going into the scriptures and exegeting or digging out the interpretation or the literal interpretation of what God's word is saying unto us. And we take also the context. We don't just pick one verse of scripture out and run with it. We take the context. If we have to go up a little and down a little. And we take, amen, the historical in proclaiming God's word, the context and the historical. We are in the grace dispensation, the period of God's dealing with his elect according to grace. It is, God made covenant with all of his elect down through the creation of time and creation of humanity. God dealt with all of his elect dispensationally and contractually, covenant-wise, or agreement. Started with the dispensation of innocence with Adam and Eve, and Adam was the federal head of that, and after that, the dispensation of conscience. Conscience mean knowing and aware. They had sinned and they were aware more of their surroundings. And one thing they were aware of, that they were naked. It was no problem at first. They were always naked from creation. But they were not aware or consciously aware of it. The next dispensation was the dispensation of human government, which Noah headed up. And after that dispensation in the Bible is the dispensation of promise, wherein Abraham was called out of God from his kindred and from the land of his nativity and from worshiping his idols or idolatry unto a land that the Lord told him that he would show him and that he would be a blessing unto all peoples. In him shall all families of the earth be blessed. And after that dispensation, we meet with law, or the old covenant. Amen. Wherein God gave law through Moses unto Israel. We are not under law. We are under, in this dispensation, grace. Then we have the introduction and the announcement of the kingdom. Hence the prayer, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. But the king was rejected, and all this was according to God, God's purpose. The king was rejected. They said, crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us. So the kingdom, no king, the domain is put on hold, and it will be resurrected. And after that, we have in manifestation in the scriptures, or the way that the Bible has been compiled, we have the grace dispensation. And then that dispensation covers Paul's 14 epistles, Romans through Hebrews. And after that, we have the general epistles, James, and 1st through 3rd Peter, 1st through 3rd John, and then the book of Revelation and Jude. But in the middle of that, we have outlining the grace dispensation, those 14 epistles that our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, revealed to the Apostle Paul for the grace church. Those contain our directives or our marching orders. They contain our inheritance and what we can look forward to, or our hope, our expectation, is in the grace epistles given to the Apostle Paul by our Lord Jesus Christ for the grace church, which is Christ's body. We make up his body. No other group, not Israel, or those before Israel, pre-revelation of the nation Israel, make up the body of Christ. They are his elect. Their heritage is earthly. Their gospels or contracts, they point primarily and predominantly to the eternal earth. Ours is heavenly and point to our eternal inheritance in the heavenlies. And as we shall see when Pastor Reed, the heavenlies are in Christ. All right. Introduction. Now, follow along as Pastor Cutler begins reading Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 1.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, from the readings that are attributed to the King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace be to you. Everything regarding us is grace. It never reverts to law or anything else. It is grace. It depicts what the Lord did for us with our help or input in eternity, where we weren't there physically to contribute anything regarding our eternal salvation, our abode, and our son positioning in the body of Christ, in establishing or having established who we are. Majority of God's people don't know who they truly, truly are.
Amen.
Amen. This is not home. Our citizenship is not here. We are only here abiding temporarily. Read, Pastor.
Continuing, verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Pastor Cutler, would you please read that if you have the interlinear Greek text? Would you read verse 3
from
interlinear?
Bless the God, that is from the interlinear Greek text, verse 3, chapter 1, Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
Bless the God and Father of the Lord of us,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The heaven blessed us.
Having blessed us.
With every blessing,
mm-hmm.
spiritual. In the heavenlies.
And where are the heavenlies?
In Christ.
We are possessors right now. Even though we are manifested in time, in physicality, in physical bodies, we abide right now spiritually in the heavenlies in Christ. We are possessors of each and every blessing spiritual. Ours is not physical. We are not waiting for a holy Jerusalem to come down from the heavens for us with streets of gold and the like. That is glorious. But we have been given that which is much more glorious than they. We are members of the Lord, the Creator's own body. Members of His body. More glorious. All right. Matter of fact, Pastor Cutler, go ahead and continue in the interlinear text. Verse 4.
Greek interlinear, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
As He chose us in Him before foundation of world.
I want you to get that. He chose us. Us meaning those who were chosen. God did not choose everybody. We have vessels unto honor, as it says in the 9th chapter of Romans. God has ordained some vessels unto honor, that's us. And vessels of this honor, that's them. They are not us, and never can be, and we are not them, and never can be. We are members of Christ's body, and they are not. Read Romans, the 9th chapter. And I think beginning around the 21st verse. Reading on, Pastor Cutler.
He chose us in Him before foundation of the world.
Before whom?
To be a being.
Being?
Us holy and unblemished.
Holy, separated, sanctified, set apart from them. And also from these bodies of clay, ultimately, in manifestation. We were given bodies, amen, for God's testimonial purposes in the created entity of time. But time is a creation, and it, like all other things in physical surroundings, have an ending. So don't put your stock here. Your stuff is not here. Our existence is not here. Our actual abode is not here. Use the things of time that God deliver unto us and bring us in concert with them. Use them, but don't depend on them. Don't look to them for joy, peace, comfort. They will part from us, or we from them.
Amen.
It has already been decreed. It just hasn't manifested. It hasn't been seen. Decreed. All right, reading on, Pastor Cutler.
And unblemished before
Unblemished before Him.
Mm-hmm. In love predestinate.
In love having predestinated.
Us to adoption through sons through Jesus Christ.
Us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ.
To Himself.
To Himself.
According to the pleasure of the will of Him.
According to the pleasure, good pleasure of the will of Him. God having we are God's people. Everything regarding us and all things have already been decreed, determined according to God's purpose. Everything already is. All we are looking at in the created. Time is a creation, again, in the created entity of time is testimony. Testimony. If you were called in a court of law to go on the witness stand to testify, what you are called to do is give evidence. Evidence of what is. And time was created for testimony or evidence of what God has purposed and what God has done. Not doing, except in manifestation, he is showing. But everything is, according to Hebrews 11 and 3, created according to a saying, having predestinated us, predetermined us, appointed us, decreed us, beforehand, unto what? Unto the adoption of sons, or son position, or son placement of children by and through Jesus Christ to himself. And verse 6, Pastor, finally.
To the praise of the glory.
To the praise of the grace of him. Of the grace of him.
Which he favored us.
Which he favored us.
In the heaven. Been loved.
In the having been loved. You don't have to wonder whether God loves you. He loved us eternally. Amen. And he loves us. He loves us before time. He loves us before flesh. He loves us before the depravity of sin was manifested coming down through Adam and all the generations unto us. He loved us before anything was done, good or bad. God loved us, and he has placed us in the securest of places in the beloved, in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you are in any dire strait, if you are ever in any predicament, you can also always run to him who loves you, who has proven his love and given himself on our behalf. God loves you, saints. Now I'm reading from the document that's been passed out is part of God's sovereignty and election of salvation. God's sovereignty in election of salvation. God chose those that are his. You don't get saved, saints. You didn't get saved. You didn't find Jesus. You were chosen to be his, to belong to God. You were picked out and separated from those that were designated by creation and predetermination not to be his. Last time we were standing before you, went to Romans 9, and again, we looked at the scriptures beginning in Romans 9, verse 21 through 24, and where it showed us that there are vessels of mercy unto honor and vessels of wrath that God created unto dishonor. Again, they can never be you or us. And we can never, ever be them. God chastens us. He corrects us. He matures us. He enlightens us, illuminates us, leads us, guides us. But we can never, are never, accounted the non-elect. We were chosen. Makes no difference how many ministers minister against or contrary or free will. You didn't choose God. Through exegesis, the scriptures will bear out, rightly divided, dispensationally in sync, separating the dispensations of or God's dealings with his elect, and scriptural exegesis digging in to bring out the literal meaning or the literal thought conveyance of God's word. We can see that we were indeed elected or chosen by God unto God. I'm reading from the latter part of Millway's, the second paragraph, I think it is, yes, the second paragraph on the document page that you have before you. It reads, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, Paul refers to adoption of sons as those who, having received the Spirit and recognized God as Father. I'm going to ask Pastor Cutler if he would turn to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to deal with verses 9 and 10. And those before me as well. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. So, those who having received, not got the Spirit, received the Spirit, recognize God as Father. In one place, the Spirit causes us to cry, Abba Father, or Father, Father. Thus it is established that we were foreordained, as we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, predominantly verse 5, and actually verses 3, 4, and 5, that we were foreordained. We were appointed, we were determined beforehand, we were foreknown. Beforehand, before we were ever placed in bodies, God knew us. He loved us before creation of time and the world. We were predestinated. We were made firm beforehand. We were established and set up in advance. God did not wait for us to come to Him. He established us in the body of Christ in eternity. For by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit were we all placed, baptized, identified into one body, the body of Christ. For we were ever in these bodies. We were placed in the body of Christ, predestinated, set up and established in Christ, son position in Christ in advance or beforehand, and marked out to be placed in positions of sons. And in the process of time, let me look at, open up that word position again, as I did at the last ministering before you. Position means a place where someone or something is located or has been put. We don't put ourselves in the family of God. We were elected, chosen, and placed their son position in eternity by the one that could only do it, and that is God. We don't get in God. We were placed in the body of Christ. We were chosen and elected and selected. Son, position of sons, and in the process of time, here's what happened. In the process of time, he called those. He called us, the elect. Not all, only the chosen from eternity and son positioned in the body of Christ from eternity. He calls us in time. And maybe not all, but designated ones. The babe that might die in infancy, they will not understand the call. The mentally incompetent or the aborted babe could very well be the elect of God, but they are not able to answer the call. This is God's doing. God has caused that. But irregardless, we all gonna praise Him. They will not be babes. They will not be mentally challenged in the body of Christ. As just as Adam. Adam didn't need to be potty trained, did he? He was created able. He was created that way. In the body of Christ, we have no disability. We only have the ability that's bestowed of God in the body of Christ. Predestinated and marked out to be placed in positions of sons, and in the process of time, he calls the elect through the Holy Spirit. Scriptures tell us that having this confidence, the Lord knows them that are his. Not we know them that belong to the Lord, because I know some people that, and some folk know me. They wondered. Gavin, and I wondered. You? Praise God. So it is not given to us. Don't go around trying to pick out who belong to the Lord, irregardless or irrespective of what's going down in their life. Now, sin is sin, wrong is wrong. There's nothing right but righteousness. But we all fall short. We all have been assigned the sin nature, and it came down through Adam, the father of all humanity and ethnicity. We all fall short. But irregardless, you cannot look at your neighbor, your brother, or the distant one and say there's no way that they belong to the Lord. You just cannot do it. We all fall short. God has assigned all to a sin nature. So in process of time, he calls us through the Holy Spirit. Here we must conclude from this information that God is dead to the non-existent to the non-elect. God is dead and non-existent to the non-elect. And predeterminately void of a relationship to them. Read Romans chapter 9 again and verses 21 through 24. From this we rejoice in the knowledge we have in being a part of God's chosen family, referencing Hebrews 2 and 10, which we'll turn to or already are at. Note, this positioning of sons is by or through thea, through is thea in the Greek, Jesus Christ. Thus he is the agency, not our works, not our good deeds or efforts. Jesus Christ is the agency through which our son positioning has been effectuated or caused to happen or brought about. Christ and Christ alone. Now, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 9 and 10 as we ask Pastor Cutler if he would begin reading at verse 9. Read, first of all, Pastor, the King James Version, and then the interlinear Greek text, beginning verse 9.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
But we see Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who was made a little lower than the angels for mm-hmm. the suffering of death.
All right.
Crowned with glory and honor,
mm-hmm.
that he, by the grace of God,
by the grace of God,
should taste death for every man.
All right, now from the interlinear Greek text.
Verse 9 from the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
They but a little than angels.
That's from the King James, or in line with the King James rendering, a little lower than the angels. He took on or was partaker of flesh, just like we are. We were eternally positioned in the body of Christ. That wasn't fleshly. That is spiritual. And Christ took on a body for the suffering of death. A little than the angels. Uh-huh. Reading, Pastor.
Having been made less.
Having been made less.
We see Jesus.
We see Jesus.
Because of the suffering of death.
Because of the suffering of death.
With glory and with honor.
With glory and with honor.
Having been crowned.
Having been crowned. Everything according to God is already complete, saints. Our justification, our glorification is already complete. Read on.
By grace of God.
So as by grace of God.
On behalf of every man.
On behalf of each and every. Mm-hmm. Every one of the elect. All right. He might taste having tasted.
Of death.
Death. for all of the elect. Christ died for our sins, the elect. Not for all. He didn't die for all, every man, all men, absolute. And then it's up to you to accept him as your Savior. No. We are God's pre-people. Everything is pre-ordained, done beforehand, and it's out of our hands. That should breed confidence unto us. Lord, help us. If our salvation was determinate on us, we just can't do it. We can't keep it. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. We'll sin coming out the gate. Either we're going to think it, do it, or act it out. One way or the other. We're not able. He is. Verse 10, first one, the King James Version. Pastor.
King James Version, Hebrews 2 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
For it became him for whom are all things.
Whom are all things.
And by whom are all things.
And by whom are all things. Colossians 1, 16, 17. All things were created in him, through him, and for him. We are his. All right, reading, Pastor.
In bringing many sons into glory.
In bringing many sons. Not absolute everybody. Not every man. Many sons. Uh-huh.
To make the captain of their salvation perfect. Through suffering.
Through suffering. Now, from the interlinear Greek text, verse 10.
Hebrews.
Just follow along.
2 and 10 from the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
For it was fitting for him.
It was fitting according to God. It was fitting and proper for him, Christ.
Because of whom? All things and through whom.
All things, because of whom, Christ. All things and through whom.
All things.
Uh-huh.
Many sons to glory. Leading the author of the salvation.
Having been led, that's an aorist tense there. Having been led, it has already been done through God's decree. We are God's pre-people. Your coming to Christ was manifestation. Your knowing that you belong to him was manifestation of what had already been predetermined and done. Manifestation, showing us, revealing unto us. The Spirit of God bear witness with our spirit that we belong to him. But you always belong to him as in the created entity of time, and us coming along in flesh, the Spirit of God, not to all. Remember the babe aborted, or the newborn in infancy leave out, or the mentally incompetent necessarily. God ministers witness unto our spirit that we belong to him. That is not the inception or the beginning of your eternal salvation. Your salvation is eternal, and that's where it had its beginning. It was done in eternity. Having led, we are already in Christ. We are already glorified. We are already justified. It just has not been manifested unto us. When this body is gone and the consciousness of physicality and earthly physicality is gone with these bodies, then we will consciously be aware where we actually, truly are. When the Apostle Paul was taken outside of Lystra and stoned as it were to death, they thought he was not unconscious. And while he was unconscious, unknowing, unaware to physicality, the Lord caught him up in spirituality, in consciousness. Consciousness of mind into spirituality. And he understood, and his hearing and his recognition, he knew where he was. The third heavens. Nobody told him. That is earthly. No one told him. He knew where he was. And he heard things that he knew when he regained earthly consciousness. There was no relationship between trying to utter what he had heard at home in the heavens in Christ, the third heavens, and what he was used to in physicality. There was no correlation, none whatsoever. We have been led. We have been led. The author, read on, Pastor.
The author of the salvation of them through suffering.
The author of the salvation of them through suffering, what?
To perfect.
Having been perfected. Everything is done, saints. That is an aorist infinitive. To having been perfected. He's the author of the salvation of us. That means he is the originator. He is the cause. He is the creator. He is the beginning of the salvation of us. We are complete in Christ. We're no longer good for the world. And the world, amen, holds no special joy for us. Even if we got a lots of that stuff that you call money, we'll soon part from it. Even if we got an abundance of so-called friends, we'll leave them or they'll leave us. Whatever oasis we might think that we are in, it has an ending. It's temporary. Just like time itself, it's temporary. Time has an end. The author of the salvation, he's the originator and the cause of the salvation. Not one day when you came and shook the preacher's hand. Not one day when you were baptized in water. Not one day, praise God, when you repeated the sinner's prayer. Not one day when the Lord calls you to believe in him. In testimony, he, amen, manifested that you belong to him. Manifested or showed it. Author of the salvation of them who through sufferings to perfect or complete it. We are members of Christ's body. He suffered for us. Corroboration in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. It pleased God to afflict him. It pleased God to cause him to suffer for us. He had no sin of his own. He suffered for us, for our sins, for our unrighteousness, for our unworthiness. He suffered for us, shed his blood on our behalf. It's all through God's grace, saints. God's grace is the greatest thing that could ever, other than the name of Jesus, God's grace is the greatest thing that could ever be uttered from our lips. When we say Jesus, we say in grace. Hallelujah. He's our life that has been given to us, has been given to us. We are members of his body. That word perfected or perfect means complete. Amen. He's the head. We are the body. He is complete with the members of his body. Having borne our sins. Having given us through imputation his righteousness. Saints, when our sins are forgiven or taken away, where do you think they go or have gone? They were placed on him. Thank you, Jesus. Perfected. Completed. Reading again. Third paragraph. The last clause of Ephesians 1:5 sets forth the basis that God used in foreordaining us to know or appoint or decree beforehand, foreordination or foreordaining, to know beforehand, to appoint beforehand, to decree or determine us beforehand. Note, it was according to the good pleasure of his will. He wasn't griping about it. He didn't gripingly give up Jesus to bear our sins, to suffer on our behalf. It pleased God. It pleased God to cause him suffering for us. Here the preposition translated according, which is kata, infers the idea of in keeping with, conforming to, and in alignment with the good pleasure of his will. His will. The Greek word ευθοκιον, rendered good pleasure, is derived from ev and thokio, and denotes that God foreordained, foreknew, foreappointed, foredecreed beforehand, foreordained in conformity with what he thought best, what he deemed good and pleased him. The fact that God is omniscient, you heard about this earlier, he's all-knowing. He knows about us. He knows our frame. He knows what we are susceptible to. He knows where we spend our time, our thoughts. He knows all things. Omniscient documents that what God deemed to be best, good, and pleasing to him was the highest possible intelligent decree. It was a perfect decree because God is inherent. He's perfect. And we are completed in Christ. These perfect facts, inerrant. If I said inherent, I meant inerrant. These perfect facts, inerrant facts, not able to be in any air, don't have to be rethought or reconsidered. Perfect facts, plus God's perfect judgment, again, inerrant, unable to err in judgment. It's completed. It was completed in eternity. God did everything in eternity. All you're looking at in time is manifestation for testimony. Testimony. That's all we're looking at in time. Perfect judgment enabled him to sovereignly, absolute power, authority, and God's absolute right according to his purpose, his intent, as you heard about in the pastor's pen, his design and his aim, what God would accomplish through his purpose. He has accomplished it. We are members of Christ's body, never any more good for the world, and the world never any more good for us. There will be a clash every time. Every time, saints, there will be a clash. The Spirit of God yielding unto God and the flesh yielding to the world. Amen. The two are distinctly different. They are opposite or opposed, the one to the other. We're never, I want to say that again, those that click into our website, www.gracegospelministrythere.com. If you belong to the Lord, you are never, ever any more good for the world. Never. God is faithful. God is faithful. According to his purpose, for the ages and eternity, foreordained us unto the praise and goodness of his glory. God saved us unto his glory. His glorious praise. We are eternally complete in Christ. Saved. Secure. Safe. Ephesians 1:6 reads from the King James Version, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's where the action is. The glory of God's grace. Again, you didn't get saved. You could never get saved. You were assigned to sin, a sin nature. We can never match up. Jesus is sinless, the only sinless one. Therefore, he bore all our sins. The glory of God's grace, wherein he hath, let me say this before I go forward. Not a human, not a person ever brought forth on this earth is saved except by God's grace. The difference is, in prior times, grace was not the house rule. Grace was not the administrative rule. But everyone was saved according to God's grace. Adam and every ethnicity that sprang from him is saved according to God's grace. We don't measure up. Adam sinned in the garden. Coming out the gate, he sinned. Noah sinned coming out the gate when he planted some grapes coming out the ship. And on after that. Moses, any of them, Abraham, idol worshiper. And right down to you and I. We got to be saved by God's grace. There's no other way. None. None. Grace means kindness, undeserved kindness, unmerited favor. Grace means a benefit, a benevolent, a thank, a gratitude unto us. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, not making, hath made us accepted in the beloved of him. We are his beloved, as is said, as we read in Ephesians 1 and 6. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Didn't have to ask no one. All our faults, they've been laid on Christ. And his righteousness has been put upon us. As though we had never sinned before God. Wrong is still wrong. God still hates sin. There's nothing right but right. And God has to mature us and enable us to keep us from following what he has determined in our flesh. That we cannot attribute anything to our goodness ever, but unto his grace. Unto his grace we are saved. Made us accepted in the beloved. Now the translation from the Greek text. Unto the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely gave. We didn't get it. He gave to us, not all, and not the non-elect. Gave to us in the beloved. Those that was safely and eternally placed in the body of Christ. This verse focuses on the bottom line as to what God's purpose and foreordination has as its final objective. Here is the bottom line. Unto the praise of his glorious grace. Now, if you had done something to get saved, if that were possible, and it's not, if it were possible for either in humanity to do something to become saved and acceptable before God, it would take away from God's grace. He would not get the glory that he, amen, has determined for himself. The glory, and it's according to grace. Beginning with Adam, saved by grace. Enoch, even though the scriptures didn't catalog his sins, he was a sinner. The sin nature was transmitted to him from his foreparent Adam and Eve. He was a sinner. So it focuses on the bottom line to what God's purpose and foreordination has as its final objective, the praise of his glorious grace. Here the Greek preposition eis, meaning unto, as it is used with the accusative case, meaning the direct object, the accusative case in the Greek language, conveys the thought of, unto the end of, unto the accomplishment of, and unto the result of the praise of his glorious grace. As one views this glorious work, what God has done through our Lord Jesus Christ, bearing our sin and our iniquity and all our transgression, not some of them or most of them, but all our sin and transgression. It is apparent that God has manifested, shown, displayed his grace in foreordination twofold. First, his purpose to foreordain was motivated by love. He loved us, and he accepted us and placed us, made us accepted in the Beloved. It's adorned in mercy, withheld judgment, an act of grace. We get what we do not deserve in grace. God help us. God help us. We get what we do not deserve in God's grace. Second, the requisite for foreordaining or appointing or decreeing beforehand or having a relationship beforehand, before we could do anything or ever came in these bodies. The requisite. Here's what a requisite is. I want us to be clear. A thing that is necessary for the accomplishment or the achievement of a specified end, or you could say an aim, which is part of God's purpose. An end, a design, an aim. The requisite for foreordaining, the necessary basis, the bottom line, the foundation for its enactment, foreordaining, its enactment is the outpouring of God's grace in the essence. This is how God poured out his grace to us. In the essence of the faithfulness of the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary. In manifestation, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Calvary was manifestation. Just like we go through manifestation each and every day, we are walking in that which God has already predetermined. Sometime he overrules our sin nature, and sometime he let us go on and act according to the sin nature and not according to who we actually truly are, members of the body of Christ, the beloved of God. In the essence of the faithfulness of Christ Jesus on Calvary, referencing, first pastor, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 9:15, and we're going to conclude in 2 Timothy 1:9. First of all, 2 Corinthians 9 and the 15th verse. 2 Corinthians 9:15.
2 Corinthians 9:15. From the King James. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
And now from the interlinear Greek text, Pastor.
Thanks to God. For the indescribable.
Of him.
Gift.
And that is God's grace. Paul said that he wrote it to the church, us. Thanks to God for the indescribable, unable to be expounded in full. We can never expound the worthiness, the greatness of the grace of God. We don't have the vernacular nor the ability or the mental capability to fully expound the grace of God. It's indescribable. I know they say some candies are indescribably delicious. They're good, but they're not indescribable. We can describe what they taste like. The grace of God in this venue, in these bodies, indescribable. With these earthly born consciousness, indescribable. But we shall. Now in part, we shall know, even as we have been known. And we're going to conclude with 2 Timothy, appropriately, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy, turn with me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll conclude in verse 9.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, from the King James.
And first from the King James Version.
Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works.
Not according to our works.
But according to his own purpose and grace. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
All right. Now, from the interlinear Greek text, it gets more to the point of what was actually uttered or said or spoken and written unto us. This is our message. This is our truth from God.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, from the Greek interlinear.
Read it, who we are.
Of thee having saved us.
Of thee having saved us.
And God, having called us.
And having called us.
Calling with a holy.
Calling with a holy or separated.
Not according to the works of us.
Not world. Not listening audience. Not those before me. Not according to works. Not according to shaking a minister's hand. Not according to what we call the sinner's prayer. Not according to being dunked in the water. Not according to the mourner's bed. Not according to anything that we could do. All of our righteousness is said, as it said, I think, in Isaiah or Jeremiah, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And that's just what it is. It's, you do with a filthy rag, you discard it. All of our righteousness that we think that we can depend upon or lean on is as filthy rags. Not just rags, filthy rags. Our righteousness is a stench in the nostril of God. We abide in the righteousness of Christ and Christ alone. He is our help. He is our hope. He is our life. He is our righteousness. God is perfect. He requires perfection and a perfect righteousness. Christ's righteousness is imputed unto us, counted unto us, and our sins were placed on him. His righteousness was imputed unto us eternally, and our sins were placed and attributed place on him. Finish reading that, Pastor.
But according to his own purpose.
But according to God's own purpose
and grace.
And grace, there it is, according to God's own purpose and grace.
Given to us.
Now let's look at the venue that God's purpose and grace was given unto us.
In Christ.
It was given unto us. Given, not gotten. It was given unto us.
In Christ Jesus.
In where we abide. In Christ, we are his body. He's the head. He's our Lord. He's our owner. He's our boss. He calls the shot in our lives. All of it. All of it. All is attributed unto Christ. Our comfort. Our joy. Our continuance here. And certainly eternally our abode. We've had no ending. In Christ Jesus, let's look at when, Pastor.
Before times,
all of them.
Eternal.
God's purpose and grace given to us. Grace to us. In Christ Jesus. Before times. Eternal. We didn't just become his. We were always his. Eternally, we belong to the Lord. Saints of God, rejoice. Your salvation, thank God, is not dependent on you and on me. We are imperfect. We couldn't consummate it if we had all the help on the globe. We couldn't consummate our eternal salvation because everyone else is a sinner just like each other. But God has placed all on Christ. In eternity, we were. We not are trying to be. We were saved eternally. We belong to the Lord. We belong to Him totally. He is Lord. His will is done, not ours. He determines where we go, where we land. He determines what we suffer, how much, and how long. We belong to Him. Suffering is according to our identification with Him. He suffered for us, and we suffer on behalf of Him in this alien to us world. Well, I know you know how to drive, you know how to read, you know how to breathe, you know how to go places, you know how to interact, but this is not home. And the things we have are on loan. Ours is in Christ, spiritual, eternal. God bless you.